We have a medrash that tells us, right, that if a person is a Talmud Chacham, then the Torah for him is Tizal Kital. It flows down like dew. But if he's not a Talmud Chacham and he learns Torah, then it'll be knocked down, or Fehu Kimutter. It's going to knock him down like rain. Now it's based on the Pasuk of the Hazino Shemaim Adaveris Shemaris and Rekhi. Yarov Kamutter Likhi. Likhi is Lekach Tov, the Torah. Yarov Kamutter can cut you down like rain. Tizal Katal Imrasi. My words of Torah can flow like Tal. If you're a Talmud Chacham, it's Tal. If you're not, then it's Mutter. So what does that mean? Says the Gra. Rain rains down for everything. And it doesn't matter if it's a beautiful flower, an unbelievable vegetable, or fruit, or a weed. The rain helps it grow. And not only that, usually the weeds grow more from rain than any other plant, than anything else that's out there, right? Anything else that's there. So too, the Torah can cause a person who's roi, who's a good person, to grow. But it's a slow growth. It's not a quick growth. It's not like all of a sudden you start growing and you go crazy or anything like that. What ends up happening, if a person learns Torah and you got it there, is you go step by step by step. But if you're not roi, and you learn Torah, you'll be able to usurp. You'll be able to take that Torah and use it for tummy reasons, use it for terrible things. You'll have bad midos from the Torah itself, and you'll have tchunos in your heart. You'll look at the Torah and you'll see, oh man, so it's mutter to beat up a pregnant woman if you really don't like her, like Sari Menu did to hug her. It's mutter. Mutter to be able to do such a thing. You look at the Torah and you see it's mutter to be able to lie to people and cheat and steal, like Yaakov did to Laban and Yaakov did to Esav. If you read the Torah in the wrong way, you can get the absolute worst midos and the worst things you could possibly imagine. You all know the Gemara, right? L'miyam nimba, for those that go to the right and do it that way, it's called Sama Dechayim. L'mas mi'ilimba, it's called Sama Demusa. If you learn the Torah, you're learning Torah, but you do it with the left-hand side in the wrong way, it becomes an elixir of death. I'm sorry?
So there's a mitzvah of learning Torah?
I would assume so. The problem is that the result of that Torah is terrible for you and destroys you. And that's what it means, that it's Sama Demusa. It's literally poison. Torah itself can be poison if you mistreat it and you learn in the wrong way. We say in Brachos, Samach Beis Amar Aleph. It goes through L'Eis Mitzo, right? And the Gemara asks, what's L'Eis Mitzo? What is the greatest find that a person can have in the world? The Gemara argues. One of the answers is Torah. Torah is the greatest find that a person can get. One of the answers is a good wife. Good wife is an Eis Mitzo. Then the Gemara ends off with a basic kisei, a bathroom right by your table wherever you're eating. It's amazing, right? And then comes along, I think it's Rav Ashi right afterward, and says, oh, the one who said bathroom, I agree with him. Ooh, hold on a second. Let's think about this Gemara for a second. You're telling me that a bathroom by your table was greater than Torah? What does that mean? How in the world could you say that? Let alone a good wife. Now, what does that mean exactly? What's the Gemara talking about? What's that supposed to be? Says the Gra, the truth is that Torah is not necessarily the greatest thing to have if you're going to do it in the wrong way. If you're going to do it in the wrong way and you're doing it lekanter, it's the best word in the world now that I know you, lekanter, in order to argue with others, to destroy other people, if you're doing it in order to just whatever, to get by, if that's what you're doing it for, then it's terrible. There's nothing good out of that. But what is good is to have a bathroom, meaning to get rid of the tumor that is within you and just get rid of it from your expunge it, good word, from the body. Exactly. And that's what really the bathroom is referring to. It's obviously referring to a physical. Obviously it's good to have it by the table, but the main ichor is the fact that you have the ability to get rid of that tumor. You can throw it to the wayside. You can get rid of those evil things. If you had to keep in everything, if there was no way to get rid of something, for example, if there was no way to forget things, you would be angry. You would go crazy if you remembered everything that everyone ever did. Because if you can't forgive somebody, your whole life is going to be a Gehenna. Gehenna. Because every time you see that guy, you're going to think like, oh, I can't stand what that guy did over there. You have to be able to forgive. You have to be able to forget in order to forgive. It's an unbelievable gift. Now, on the other hand, oh, but now I'm going to forget some Torah that I've learned. Great. That means you can do it again. Can you imagine if all we had to do is read the Torah once, and we'd know all of it, go through Gemara once, and we'd be completely finished? Oh, now you know the air conditioning is being fixed. There you go. Either way, it's not there. This is the idea of what it's supposed to be. You want to do mitzvot, and you want to do Torah in the way in which you knock out the tumah and you bring in the kedusha, and that's the awesome part. Okay, I have a couple stories today. One time, a simple wagon driver was driving around the Chafetz Chaim. It's funny, it is a wagon driver, but it's not a Hasidic Shemaisa, so I'm sorry about that. And he was talking to the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim asked him, so how's everything? You know, how are things by you? So he told him that, listen, obviously, you know, things are great and whatever it is. He just said, you know, now that I have the rug and the carriage, I'll just tell you, in the wagon, I'll just tell you, I have one issue. Not very long ago, my horse got sick, and it died suddenly. I didn't expect it whatsoever. And I had no money to pay for a new one. So the city got together, and they raised money for me, and they bought me a brand new horse. Because they knew that I had nothing, and that this is my only way of making a means of parnasa. So they all paid for my new horse. So the time looked at me and said, Baruch Hashem, you have a whole city that's willing to do things for you. That's unbelievable. What a great thing. So he said, but why, Rebbe? Why did I have to get such agmas nefesh? Why was I given such tzaras? And why did I have to take tzedakah from the city? I wanted to pay for my own. I couldn't afford it. Why did I have to go through that? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu make me accept tzedakah? Chafetz Chaim tried persuading him, but the wagon driver wasn't listening. So Chafetz Chaim said, listen, Hashem is very, very great. It's well known that wagon drivers will sometimes make a price at the beginning of the drive, and then because something happens in the middle, whatever it is, they raise the price at the very, very end. I said, listen, that wasn't a $25 ride, that was a $28 ride. So please give me $28. Because of something else that might happen, a traffic jam or whatever it was, but they just raise it at the end. That's gezel. Said, you have your horse. Sometimes your horse, you're not paying attention, will lean into another person's oat bag and start taking from your friend's oats. Sometimes maybe you'll have it graze in the middle of a field somewhere, a field that belongs to somebody else, you'll have it graze in somebody else's field. That's gezel. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees the amount of gezel that your horse is over on, right, or that you yourself are over on, and it adds it up to a cheshbon. And when the cheshbon becomes the amount of the horse, then he kills the horse. That's when the horse is gone. So the Chafetz Chaim said, everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is an exact measure commensurate with what you did. There's nothing extra, nothing lacking. Commensurate, I got two good words so far. And with what you did. You have to understand that. Okay? That's what ended up happening. So the wagon driver thought about that for a while as they were driving. And he thought about it, and he considered it, considered. And he realized, he said, that makes sense. But he asked the Chafetz Chaim, he said, wait a second. Last year, during the winter, you lost your coat at the train station. Somebody had stolen your coat at the train station. He said, you're not a wagon driver, said the Chafetz Chaim. What happened to you? Why did you lose your coat? He asked this, the Chafetz Chaim had his coat stolen. He said, how could you have lost your coat? Your winter coat in the middle of the winter. So the Chafetz Chaim said, you have your nisyonos, and I have mine. I sell svarim. Obviously, the Chafetz Chaim, the Shemir Zalash, and the Chafetz Chaim itself, Nircha Yisrael, Netzach Yisrael, I'm sorry, Abbas Yisrael, Abbas Chesed, right? The Mishnah Berurah, that's a good one, right? He has a couple of them, out there. He said, I sell svarim. It's impossible for me to check every single sefer. As much as I do, that they used to go through every single sefer to make sure every page was correct and whatever it was, it's impossible. There are some places where it's going to be a mistake. Either the pages are glued together, or a page is missing, or a page is blank, or something's going to happen. It's going to happen. I can't check everything. And the person who I sold it to may not be mochel me. The person may say, oh, I wanted to get a Mishnah Berurah, and look what I got. I didn't get the full Mishnah Berurah. Therefore, I also owe money to people that I can't pay back. So when that leads up to a cheshbon, I lose a coat. That's why I end up losing my coat, or my coat gets stolen. Unbelievable answer. Absolutely unbelievable answer. Only Chafetz Chaim could say something like that. That's what it means by Atzur Tamim Palo. The rock, his works are perfect. Ki kol drachav yashar. Everything he does is good. Tzadav yashar hu. Why do we call upon the heavens and the earth to testify? We say, Hazino Hashemayim Ba'aretz, right? Listen, Shemayim Ba'aretz, is Shemaretz and Merfri. Hazino Shemayim Ba'adadera, is Shemaretz and Merfri. So the Medrash says that there are people that do that can't keep mitzvos that were given to them in the heavens, and they can't keep mitzvos that were given to them on the earth. Okay, cute. What mitzvos were given to us in the heavens, and what mitzvos were given to us in the earth? I mean, weren't we all given mitzvahs on the earth? I mean, we were all by Har Sinai and we're there. And if you say, like, no, some of them were in the heavens, well, then all the mitzvahs were given in the heavens. None of the mitzvahs are given on earth. What does that mean? Second question. It says, Hazino Hashamayim, listen, O heavens, Ma'adabera, the word Dibor. Is Tishma Oretz, and the Oretz, Imre Fi, says the word Amira by them. Why does it switch off between those two? Says the Ksav Sofer. In our Torah, our Torah has two different types of mitzvos. What are the two different types of mitzvos in our Torah?
Asen.
That's very good, actually. I would have said Asen Losa Zeh. But how to do it? That's good also, because you're dealing with Kovz Levavos for Parak. Very, very good. You guys are both really good. How about Bin Mitzvos Bin Adam Levakom and Bin Adam Lechaver? Okay, that's good. That's another chiluk that you can make over here. It says it stops over within Bin Adam Lemakom, there's Mitzvos Aseis and Mitzvos Losa Zeh. Within Bein Adam Lechavero, there's mitzvahs Aseis, and there's mitzvahs Los Aseis, right? Now, the ones between us and Hashem are mostly, they're mostly chukim. They don't make any sense at all. Would anybody here put on tefillin if you weren't commanded to do so? Would anybody here put on tzitzis? If you were commanded, if you have a four-cornered baguette, who has a four-cornered baguette? Unless you live in Mexico, right? Oh, you have one right there. Yeah, you have to be split all the way up top. Or else you gotta put tzitzis on that thing. That is weird, by the way. Yeah, no. Anyway, but that's that. But also, shotness, traithus, right? What you're going to eat, what you're not going to eat, razors, not to shave with a razor. I mean, shotness is the weirdest. Traithus is pretty weird also. Right. You're used to it, so you're okay with that. Yeah, we can eat a cow, but that, no.
Playing me.
That is. Well, you specifically. I didn't know if, I didn't know what I said. So I didn't want to say that. Have
you ever seen Aversan?
The what?
Aversan?
You have Aria? Yeah, I heard of it. I saw it once. My brother played it on his phone for me.
They
have a Kumra song.
Yeah.
Baruch Hashem, they're going up in life. But the ones between Adam Lechavero, the ones between man and his fellow, are more. They seem to be more sensible. Things that we can understand very easily. Don't steal, right? Don't commit adultery, right? Those are obvious. Don't murder. That's pretty good. These are things that I probably would have figured out on my own without HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? Even the mitzvos that the world cannot go on without. If you don't have keep it up the aim, if you don't have low tzirtzok, if you don't have low sin, if you don't have low sin, the world can't go on. Nonetheless, you get rewarded for keeping them, even though the civilization needs these things. You can't live in the world without them. Shamayim, the mitzvahs given to us in Shamayim are the mitzvahs bein adam le. There you go. And the Oretz is referring to the mitzvahs that are bein adam le. Chavero. Those are the different types of mitzvahs. That's the idea behind it. Meaning, these are the types of mitzvahs that are there. Now, have you ever tried giving mussar to somebody about the Malcolm Lamakom? You know, Isaac, you should really go to davening. I think it's a good idea for you to start going to davening. You ever tried giving a guy mussar and stuff like that?
Nah.
Understand, davening is a private thing. Okay? It's between me and God, and we're going to go ahead and do it. But you tell a person you shouldn't steal. Like, I hear that, you know? Like, Daniel, don't steal. Like, you hear that. Like, okay, that makes sense. I'm not going to steal. Again, I'm just saying, you hate me. So I'm saying, like, that. You go ahead and you do that. If that's true, we can understand something very, very understand. Now it makes sense a little bit. Hazinu Hashamayim, listen to the mitzvos that are being Adam Lamakom. Because if you don't, Ma'adabera, it's going to be hard for me to be able to give Musar on that. Dibor, we all know, is a Lashon Kasha. It's going to be very difficult for me to be able to give Musar on that. However, Sishma Aris, you should also listen to the mitzvos being Adam Lachavero. The ones that you listen to, the ones you figured out already, listen to them anyway, Imrei Fi. Because if you don't do them, then the worst that can happen is Amira are going to have to be very soft. It's easier for people to be able to get around and stuff like that. That also explains, Mutter is very harsh. Tau is very sweet. And that, again, is the same type of concept you're going with that as well. That's that. Now, let's end with a little bit of a bang. We've got a couple really good stories over here. You look at Parak Lamed Tes Yid Beis. Okay, Parak Lamed Tes Yid Beis. Yeah, Lamed Beis, I'm sorry, Yid Tes. Lamed Beis Yid Tes says, L'chumi Reshef V'ketev Mariri V'shem Behemos Achalabam. Talking about Big Shadim. That's all it's talking about. Ketev Mariri is a demon that comes out in the middle of the day during the 3 weeks up until Tisha B'Av. He comes out right in the middle of the day and destroys those that are in the middle of the street. In order to get rid of them, you have to say the word Mariri, Mariri, Riri, Iri, Ri, Yi. because he has to do it again. Unbelievable stuff. Literally. Unbelievable story. That's where it comes from. The Nana. It comes from the opposite of that Gemara. Gemara Pesachim. That's Kavyud. Right?
It's
true? Yes, Gemara Pesachim. Knocking it down. Yeah, knocking it down means minimizing it so that it doesn't have any power anymore. Building it up gives it power. That's why they do You do the same thing with me. Tzvi. There you go. That's you also, right? We just gave ourselves extra strength.
Yeah,
now we're the most powerful people in the world. Now, by the way, we also say in brachos, right? We say in brachos, above. If you had the ability to see the mazikin, the shadim that are around you, 10,000 to your right, 1,000 to your left, you would be shocked. You wouldn't be able to stand from how awesome they are, okay? At the end of World War I, the yeshiva of the Chofetz Chaim moved to Smelovitz, okay? I don't know exactly where the city is or what about it. It's supposed to be in Russia, Smelovitz or Smelovitz. I don't know. I read it in Hebrew, so I can't tell. Yes, named Smelovitz.
Smilovic. Yeah.
That was his name from Milwaukee.
I don't remember where it's from. I was in Israel then.
I'm almost positive because there was a girl from Milwaukee who came to meet me, and it was his sister. And I can't remember if that was Smelovitz, but it was Smelovitz. What?
Smilovic was from Phoenix. Smilovic.
Oh, it's from Phoenix? She said she's from Milwaukee. Maybe there's another one. Yeah, maybe it's a different person. Okay, either way, regardless, right? That person is up there, and that was around there. So they went to Smelovitz again. Many people came to the Chofetz Chaim for help. They all came to him. They asked him for help and whatever it was. One man came to the Chofetz Chaim, and he asked him where he was from. He said, you know, where are you from? So the guy said to him, I'm from a small town near Baranovich. Now, Baranovich at the time had many Jews living there, right? Rebbe Kahn was not yet the Rav there. But Baranovich had many, many Jews that were living in that area. So the Chofetz Chaim asked him, he said, what news have you heard from Baranovich? So the guy said, I haven't heard anything at all. I have absolutely no idea. A couple times I looked at him and said, how could you not have heard? You guys are practically neighbors with them. It's like Skokie and Evanston. How do you not hear what's going on in the town that's right next door? There's no way, of course, you know between them. She said, true, the man said. When there's no war outside, then everything's all good. But when there's war, there's soldiers everywhere. They can do whatever they want and nobody stops them. So everybody stays in their cities. I'm not going to go from one place to the other until I find a way to get out. I found a way to get out of my city. I came to see the Chofetz Chaim. But we don't hear any news about the other towns or anything or anyone because no one's walking around, no one's telling anything. Because who would put themselves in such danger when there are malachei mashkes around, when there are angels of destruction that are willing to destroy you? So Chofetz Chaim turned to the people standing next to him and said, did you all hear that? Did everybody hear that? There are fools who ask if the neshama really is infinite. And they say, if the neshama really does live on after death, if the neshama does that, then why have we never seen it? Why doesn't the neshama come down to our earth and tell us what it's like up there? Why doesn't it come down to our world? What's the pshat? Why wouldn't he do that? So it must be there's no real neshama, it doesn't really happen, and there's nothing up there. So the Chofetz Chaim, they're fools. The answer is simple. The airspace in between Shemayim and Eretz is filled with mazikin, and the neshama is terribly plagued by them if it goes up and down. Terribly plagued by that. There's no clear path. If it goes into the airspace, like when it's going to Beis and Shambhala to be judged, if you don't have a schus, then you're plagued by these mazikin before you get to Beis and Shambhala, before you go up to Shemayim. And afterward, you don't want to come down. You have to go through all that. You wouldn't want to ever come down through there. If just traveling between two cities is so hard that this guy said, you can't hear, you don't want to go near these malachim ashkas, then I'm telling you, that's the reason why we don't hear anything from the neshamos up in Shemayim. They have no ability to break through the tumah that is between us and Shemayim. That's what the Chofetz Chaim said. Pretty crazy, isn't it? Awesome. Sachasiris, the Chofetz Chaim. He knew a man, the Chofetz Chaim, by the name of Refaivish. Refaivish was from Volozhin. This man Refaivish, right, not the mouse, but he made a deal with his friend that whichever one dies first, they shook hands on it, whichever one dies first would come to the other and tell him what's going on in Shemayim. So Refaivish died. He died first. It took a while. Refaivish's friend did not hear any sign. Afterward, it doesn't say how long it took, but afterward, his friend saw Refaivish in a dream. Saw him in a dream. Refaivish said, don't wonder why he didn't come until now, he said. The road from Shemayim down here is filled with demons and terrible things, and I was afraid to go. I was afraid to go that I would be grabbed by those or be hurt by them, so I didn't want to go. But just recently, the Gaon, the Gra, was machadish something in Shemayim, And the neshamos wanted to go to him to hear it and to give him a yesher koach for what he had said. So they cleared away the heavens of all the mazikin so the neshamos would be able to travel to the gon to be able to hear the chiddush from his own mouth. And because they were metahar the roads, I was able to come down and speak to you in a dream. That's what he told us. An unbelievable story.
How did he get back?
From the Chofetz Chaim. I guess it was still clear for that day. You got to go to the ground, then you have to go back to wherever you are, right? So he said that that's what he was. That he was there. Now we all know that the Chofetz Chaim would not speak Lashon Hara, right? We all understand that. Like nobody has any doubts about that, right?
Makes sense.
Listen to this story. The Chofetz Chaim was in Vilna in his youth. In his youth, he learned a little bit in Vilna. His main rebbe was Rav Nachum of Harovna. That was his main rebbe. But he also learned in Vilna for a little bit. But he left very quickly after. Why did he leave? Well, the city of Vilna was filled with Talmidei Chacham. There were tremendous Talmidei Chacham that lived there. But unfortunately, whenever there were a lot of Talmidei Chacham around, they had a lot of Maskilim as well. Maskilim means?
Enlightened
Jews. Now the Jews that were not, you don't want to say the word reformed. They're not reformed. Yeah, they were their own men, you know, their own guys and everything like that. Their leader was, I don't know how to pronounce this name, I have it in Hebrew. Barka Michalishker, Michalisker, I have no idea. Baraka Michalisker, I don't know. Michalisker, with a kuf at the end. Michalisker, I have absolutely no idea. He called himself Adam the Kohen. I tried looking him up online, I couldn't find him. Adam the Kohen, okay? He was the leader of the Maskilim in Vilna, and he heard about the goyness of the Chofetz Chaim, how brilliant the Chofetz Chaim was. He decided he's not going to leave this to any of his cronies. He went to the Chofetz Chaim himself. Chofetz Chaim is a young man. He went to the Chofetz Chaim himself to convince him to join their side, right? The dark side. The Chofetz Chaim was so bothered by it, and he kept coming to him, kept going up to him. The Chofetz Chaim decided, I have to leave the city. And he left the city of Vilna because of him, and he never went back to the city of Vilna. For the rest of the Chofetz Chaim's life, remember, it was a man who wrote a sefer on Lashon Hara. Anytime he said the man's name, he said the words Yamach Shmo V'Zichro until the end of his life. He would say the word Yamach Shmo V'Zichro, and he would tell people to stay far away from that person. He would tell them every single time. He used to tell them that these people are so evil, he said, that even at the entrance to Gehenna, they refuse to be able to do tshuva. They refuse to do tshuva. That's a Chofetz Chaim, what he meant. Eventually, I don't know who would ask them. Somebody asked me, said, Rebbe, how do you know that they refuse to tshuva? How do you know? Maybe they did tshuva now. The Chofetz Chaim is the one who's always mashing, you know, he's always going, he's kosher, he's a good yid, everything like that. He said, this person will refuse, he will never do tshuva for the rest of his life. He told him the story. One time, Adam was talking with another enlightened Jew named Mordechai Aaron Ginsberg, not related to the Rabbi Mordechai Ginsberg here, I hope. Okay, not related. About the soul after death. They were having a whole discussion. Ginsberg and Cohen, they were discussing the soul after death. And they made a joke out of it, and they made a deal. That the first of the two to die would appear before the other one, right? And they would show him if the soul was real, and they would behave accordingly. That was a joke of a deal. Neither one of them believed that there was an actual soul, but they made the deal, shook hands on it. They said, we'll make a deal, the other one will come to whatever it was. Ginsberg died first, unfortunately. Okay? Ginsberg died first. A little while later, Adam was walking near the cemetery, and he looked inside and saw in the cemetery, he saw Ginsberg's kever, and on top of the kever he saw an image of his old friend Ginsberg, but his face was blackened with soot. Blackened with soot, looked like he was burned in a massive, massive fire. That's what he saw. He saw him blackened with soot. He couldn't speak a word. Immediately, Adam fainted, passed out on the ground. So the people that were with him, there were other people with him, they didn't see anything. They woke him up, and they quickly, whoa, what happened? Couldn't say anything. They brought him back home, and then he told everybody about the deal that they had made with each other, that they would appear to one another after death, that everything would happen, right? And then after everything was said and done, they said, right, that they had said that if you come back after death, then the other person will do the right thing, and he'll believe that there's such a thing as a neshama after death, right, that we made that deal. So do you believe in life after death now? He told Adam, do you believe in life after death now? Is that what you believe in? He said, no, it's for sure just my imagination. I just imagined it. I didn't really see anything. It wasn't real. I fooled myself. Said the Chofetz Chaim, you see, mamish, at the doorway to Gehenna, they still won't do tshuva. Still won't do tshuva, even at that point. Unbelievable, isn't it? That's an unreal story. And for that, the Chofetz Chaim spoke, I don't know if you can call it Lashon Hara, spoke about him in a bad way for literally the rest of his life. I'm going to end off with the line from Rav Chatzko Levenstein. Does anybody know stories about Rav Chatzko? Rav Chatzko always like, the Mashkiach and Panovich. Very strong. Very, very strong and very opinionated. That might be the right word. He said, do you have any questions about your nefesh living after death? He turned to his talmidim. Do you guys have any kashas about it? About the nefeshes, whether your nefesh lives after death? He said, this beard, he pulled on his long white beard, this beard was by the Chofetz Chaim when neshama came to him and asked him for a tikkun. This beard saw it. If you have any questions, believe my beard. That's what he used to say, Rakhatsko. So I'll summarize over here. Geshem and Tal, the Torah used incorrectly, can be a poison. We said at Sur Tamim Palo, you can be over on Gezel, right? Sur Tamim Palo, you can be over on Gezel, and that's the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes things happen to you. Mitzvahs between us and mitzvahs between us and Hashem, us and other friends and us and Hashem, and that's the idea behind it. And Shadim after death, or the Mazikin that apply after death, and what happens with those little stories from the Chofetz Chaim. Stop with that, guys. Have a great Shabbat.